Barker's going out of town. They're here now. So I know we have a lot of our numbers that are declining. We'll be updating everybody on Sunday. But glad everyone's here this evening. Brother Martin Evans is going to be teaching class. Aaron also is on his way back, but he's still not here yet. He started teaching. Or is not teaching. He's not teaching anymore. Super sick. We're going to sing song number 473. All three verses of 473. And then Warren, remind me, lead us to work prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for our classes. Number 473. All three verses.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood.
I've been teaching the teenage class, so I haven't been into this conversation or discussion in Hebrews chapter 11, and we were to put one word theme to this chapter. What would that one word theme be?
Faith.
Okay. Faith. On top of that, can I have the review that we've gone through in the first 12 verses? There's two verses in this first section that kind of stands out, gets quoted probably the most out of everything in this chapter.
What one be?
Verse 1, okay, and what would that second one be?
And verse 6, okay, those are the two. Now, I want to dwell on verse 1 as a review.
Somebody has, say the New American Standard Version, read it, and then somebody has like King James, New King James, so whoever wants to. American Standards up here, the first one. entirely provides, okay? His name based on the name.
More specifically, come to the answer.
You have word able to say.
Right. Where I'm coming from, first of all, this verse three.
Creation. Who's gonna bring evidence through this chapter, in this book or this chapter? Bam, here's evidence of creation. Then we start in to the great state, you know, that of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. You know, we're just laying testimony after testimony. So far.
Okay. For the great state.
And that brings us where we're gonna be at, verse number 13. Don't know where to start as far as turning back. We'll start up here tonight. We're gonna go through verse 22, the list five, and like 13 through 17 or 16.
Okay. What you were just saying?
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying that these things are the evidences of that are not?
That's what he's presenting.
Well,
there's.
I guess that's not applicable.
There's other evidence out there, obviously.
Well, I thought he was saying that you reached the things I've seen, it's like, that's evidence. I just mind.
Did any of these?
No, that's what he's saying, things that is believed in.
We'll see, I think in the next verses, that's gonna bring out the things we're looking for tonight. Here's the evidence, and I said they were looking. But what about this? Verse. Let's read it first and then come back, okay? Go ahead, man.
Verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having dwelt with them from a distance, and confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things may be clear that they are seeking the country of their own.
And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call their God, for he was prepared, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son.
Given what Kim was asking, did we get an answer? Saying evidence, bringing up the individuals. What would that get? Except for the situation. Okay. What would they say to Abraham? You know, so he was land and bird. What would move him? What would move Abel to do what he was doing? Faith in God. Of course, back then. Granted, we didn't have the Mosaic of law. Yeah, law. Some type of religious went and offered, made those offers. So they were by faith doing these, looking for something else. What was that? Something else. I didn't get the church. Better country. As pointed out, you know, Abraham hadn't seen the land of Canaan that was promised of a great nation, the sea come through it. You know, he didn't see any of that. They did not see the promise of Messiah still in their future. They didn't see the what I call the gospel of the dispensation, you know, the Christ coming, died on the cross, over and in, you know, the church has passed through. Well, they've given
what?
Dark sand. It's a day's old. Think of other times in their history there.
They turned their back, it was loud, first thing that happened to it. Reading this chapter, there's one individual, one individual, start reading, and you see all these great things, and there's one verse in verse 32, it starts just naming off one right after the other. There's one person that stood out that did not understand. One had the psalm. He asked for wisdom, he got it. He got a lot of other things too. Throw something at me. Yes.
Thank you.
My fire might have done more and just moved us out of that building into here to another place. You know what I mean?
Each one of our things was tested that time, whether or not he determined. Wouldn't that faith on us and still assembled here and still have River River Church of Christ and still keep them on? Verse 18 through 22, Warren.
What's the verse?
I believe it was said, I am the chief of the fall. Believe that God was able to raise him up from Jesus to death. He also received his victory. We'll come back to Abraham's faith, and how was his faith different? Nancy, what about Isaac? Why Isaac?
Such great faith that hey, God won't kill God, don't let him that verse 19. Says God gave our eight people human kind of air.
Wow.
That's great praise.
It's great faith.
Yes, back and back. Not kill him, but only son. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
great faith.
Then we go into Isaac. What do we know as far as Isaac? What is in this verse? See well. And you gotta remember that's the line of thinking, correct? But I guess when you look at it, what comes around those lines, you know, Isaac blessing the younger one with more one, because definitely older one a lesser blessing. Did not Jacob do the same thing in one of his death? Of Joseph's son. You may want that last one. Why, you know, are you asking for this specific faith? This really is where initial trouble comes, correct? Right? Follow Israelites, the son of Israel, that went into the promised land. One of those large things make them ground them. One of them lead them. And the other ones were. Jacob, same way. Later wife, giving a blessing to Joseph's two sons. He had the wrong hand and the wrong deal. So, this priest. So, again, the other one being blessed. Questions or comments?
providential hand of God in this point in Joseph's life? You bet, because what's going to happen? And what else? Verse 24, and this is when Joseph about ready to die, he said to his brothers, about to die, the God will surely take care of you, bring you out of this land to the land which he has promised, oh, Abraham. So even on his deathbed, he called that, reminding them, God is still with you, even though you're in Egypt, he still knows of his promise. And in doing that, still, there's another, what, 40 plus years where they got in back into the land of Canaan, that promised. Questions or comments? Then a little bit further. Let's read from verse 23 down through 29. Here's another character I want to read. later.
Chicago so big. They were doing him in. He was in prison and died. And I told, I don't think how long they had that. But he was 3 months old when he went. At 3 months, but from that point to the time he actually, I don't know how long that point is. It's gonna be obvious that my dad won't skip it, right?
I sure do hope so, because he comes back and later life.
So he's got some background as far as God and religion of the Hebrews.
I'm going to
Pharaoh's household, and from that point on, knowledge is just as sad as you grasp. Again, in Acts chapter 7, he came to that level that Stephen there called him a man of power in his words and deeds. So he was not what I call light when he was hit, wasn't God. In line with Paul. Natural born, he was still there. He was schooled in that way. Again, I think that is God's hand in there. Because God's will have built to that point. And at that point, he comes and does the killing of the Egyptian. He's about 40 years old. By Moses' life in the second quarter. Bring that up. First off, did he or did he not know who his people were? His background.
Yes, he did.
I think these verses pointed out what we want to know. Verses 5 and 6. He knew, well, there's again that teaching.
I don't know.
There should be this.
this point, do you have a decision to make?
Yeah.
Everybody has a decision to make, so.
Yeah, but three more eight had a choice.
Which way did he go?
Suffered through his people to the point of what actually happened to him. Battery killed him just the next day when he was talking about the trials and that conversation.
Yeah.
Of course, back then in Egypt, if you killed an Egyptian, what other events in his life that got him back from being back in Egypt 40 years later? What great things have been happening?
My life.
Out of the play, what was the ultimate? That's the first one. By faith, what did they have to do? The lamb. Now, what other event? If you look at the history, they go to Jericho. So nations remember what's called dry land, the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army happened maybe about the time of his life. Just the mass number at cross, what I did, that just kind of boggles my mind. Listen, you know, this crossing wasn't just a few feet. If you had a billion plugs with all the animals, wagons, and everything else, it had to be a huge strip of land. What happened?
Not too long
after that. Yeah.
go back here or come out here.
And it got to the point where it got Moses so frustrated that he did what that fickle rock. Instead of speaking. How many years later did he have consequences for that? Not more at all. Okay. Thank you for your participation. We'll move to class.
Song number 789. Sing this song before Keith breaks his invitation tonight. 789. Work for the night is coming. Sing the whole thing.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work is bringing flowers. Work when the day grows
Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. You're reading there just a moment. I'm going to confess that today I try to do something a little different. I always see Aaron with his iPad and using it to take notes and stuff. So today I'll use my phone. I have a little time for it, but I jot down some notes for tonight's presentation. So that's why I have my phone. I have my notes. I'm not like reading the news. So anyway, a few weeks ago, I was perusing the internet and I came across an article, and it talked about this verse in Proverbs chapter 4. And it just kind of stuck with me. And I thought, well, I'll save that in my mind. So, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." In this particular article I was reading, it had another translation, and it read, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And that particular rendition of the verse there really stuck with me because, you know, it talks about the importance of being diligent about guarding our heart. And in the last month or so, I've been thinking about a lot of things, and some comments were made in class recently about, I think it was Kim that mentioned it, that said, you know, serving God is not just about not doing bad, or not doing sin, or not sinning, it's about doing right, it's about doing what God wants us to do. It's not just not doing evil, it's about doing good. And, got me thinking about, you know, our hearts, you know, how we are to think in our hearts, and how we are to fill our hearts with what God wants us to fill them with. You know, and when we say the word heart, we're not thinking about our physical heart and our chest. We're talking about that spiritual heart or mind, the thing that we use to make decisions, the thing that we reason, the thing that we make plans in our mind. And, you know, I think several years ago, there was a book that was written called The Secret. I don't know if you guys ever read that book. But it was supposed to be this mind-blowing revelation. And it basically, the gist of it was, if you thought about something enough, and you constantly thought of yourself, whatever you wanted to do, if you constantly saw yourself in that, a job, or, you know, wealthy, or whatever, if you constantly thought about that, and every day you put some time towards thinking towards that, would eventually achieve. It was this groundbreaking, you know, mind-blowing thought that this person had come up with. But, you know, it's nothing new. It's right here in the Bible. It tells us right there that the guard of hearts is about the spring conditions of life. How our life is going to go is determined by the condition of our heart. And, you know, it's important because think about it. And I was thinking about this meditation, I immediately started thinking about heart, and it took me to the parable of the sower. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 8. And I want to focus on one particular aspect of this parable. We know the parable, we've heard it before, but in Luke chapter 8, verse 7 says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked them." And then over in starting in verse 11, we get Jesus explains the parable. It says in verse 14, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." And I think that right there is a specific warning to us as Christians. Because, and I think this was brought up in class too, there's so much going on in our lives. You know, we have our children, we have our jobs, and it's so easy for us to let our heart focus on let our heart focus on our job, our kids, you know, recreational activities. kid growing up, I mean, they were tall. And you didn't take any kind of off those weeds to grow them. And the problem with the weed is, it's not what you want in there. And what'll happen is it grows up around the things that you want there. Warren knows this. If you don't get the weeds up, it'll steal all the nutrients in the ground, basically choke out the stuff that you do want. And it happens quickly. But the thing about those weeds, it starts small. And guys, it's not a big deal. I'll get them when I get a little older, but before too long, it's taken over. And I think that's a great analogy to use in our lives. If we don't diligently guard our hearts, those weeds creep into our lives. Now, one of the things that, you know, me being an engineer and trying to succeed, it's real easy for me to say, oh, I need to work tomorrow. I need to work and I can get ahead. Or maybe I need to go in on Sunday and work or do something. Because I'm focused on trying to further my career. That's not what God wants us to focus on. God wants us to focus on Him. Now, other stuff will come with that. But put Him first, and it will be okay. But, it's difficult. It's very difficult. It's easy for me to sit up here and say, don't do this and don't do that. But, I struggle with it. Just like I'm sure everyone else does. Everyone has had this. There are things in this life that are tempting for us to get involved in, and they're not wrong. In nature, they're not wrong, by nature, but if they become the point of what it's all we focus on, and that's all we want to do, and it takes the place above God, then it is wrong. So, to close tonight, I want to talk about, those fears of the world coming in and having to guard our hearts in that. So, let's look at a passage that's very familiar to us to kind of encourage us and keep us, think we should focus on. So let's turn over to Philippians. That's probably another wrong one. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. So these are the things that God wants us to focus on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Tells us there to meditate on this. Not just give them a casual thought. Meditate on this. Spend some time. I think another verse says, dwell on these things. Spend time on these things. Put this stuff first. God first, meditate on these things, all the other stuff will come into the right order. It's just a danger, something I've been thinking about a lot in my life, and I hope it can be beneficial for you. Just to kind of think about these things. If you're here tonight, give yourself an invitation. If you're not a Christian, you can help you become one. If you're a Christian, maybe you've let the cares of the world creep up or you choke out. Priority of not putting God first. That's not to care that makes it right with God. It's up to your patience, peace, and support.
Give me thy heart,
set
my Father up.
Yeah.
good fit there. Just want to keep in mind everybody who's not here, look around and see more that I mentioned that aren't here, and hopefully you're out of town traveling. Let's just continue to pray for each other while we're away. We can all come back safely and those who are leaving. We can have a safe trip wherever they are. It's a weekend where a lot of danger happens as well, so let's plan for safety for each other. We have closed on the building. I think everybody knows that now, so now we can pray for the renovation efforts. We have keys to the building. Tony and I rolled it today, doing a few things. The contractor looking to get the overhead doors in place that are there. So we fix that up and start working on that. But one of the first things we have to do is get the sewer. After we get that, currently we have not have any money to do anything after that. So we can pray for funding to come in. Anybody who wants to go over there, just give us a call and take anybody over there, like you can text group over there and just kind of give an idea of what's there. We're also going to put a sign up out there. Tony took the old sign down from the chair place, putting up something that says future side of the future price. By driving by, I'm going to see that that's what we'll be. Are there any other announcements that we didn't have that? Chuck and Debbie are coming back on Friday, so Right, so probably ought to maybe send some emails out too, just to make sure everybody knows they're on the slate to do that. Okay, if there's no other